this week, we're wringing out the facts about water management. So I live on a houseboat on the River Cam myself, and I'm only too aware of how much the water level has been rising and falling over the recent weeks. And with us to explain how we manage river levels and how we can stop more rivers from bursting their banks in the future is Jenny Mant from the River Restoration Centre, which is based at Cranfield University. Hello there, Jenny.
Hello.
So as I said, as we've been having heavy storms, the water level's been changing so much that my boat's been bobbing up and down, the river's been bursting its banks at very frequent intervals. And there's been some days when I haven't been able to even board my boat. You know, I've been trying to don the wellies and kind of try and get onto my boat, hauling myself up with ropes, but it hasn't been possible. What's been going on to cause this much change with the river levels?
Well, I think it has been extremely unusual conditions. And in fact, there's estimates now that we haven't seen something like this for the last 200, 250 years. And so there has been an extreme amount of rain in the whole system. And to some extent, obviously, rivers and their floodplains are there to manage the rivers. And we just experience a lot of rain. The groundwaters are full with water and there's really nowhere for the water to go.
We were hearing earlier from the people that work with the Environment Agency, so the national body that looks after our riverways, that dredging just isn't a sustainable option. So removing that silt deposition at the bottom of the river in order to increase the capacity of the river, that could be possibly an option to help prevent against river flooding, but it's not financially sustainable. Is that true? What's the research on that?
The issue with dredging is if you, for example, equate it to going to the doctors, and if you're dredging, you're almost fixing the symptoms and you're not really looking at the cause. Mm-hmm. And it is extremely expensive because if you dredge a river, you are going to have to keep on dredging it, because as soon as you stop dredging, the fine material will come in to the river that comes from the areas around within the catchment, and that will then deposit back within the river. So really, I think what Dan was saying earlier was that you have to think about each catchment as an individual catchment and think about the management of that catchment, both within the urban and the rural areas, to try and stop the sediment getting into the river in the first place. And that way you will then not need to dredge the rivers, to try and think about the natural way that a river would manage itself, if you like.
And you mentioned the causes earlier. So what could be an example of these causes? I've read in the papers recently that intensive maize farming, for example, right up against the riverbank, that's not a good thing to help with this flooding issue.
No, it's not the maize itself, but it's the way that it's actually managed within the rural areas. So things like not ploughing right up to the edge of the river is very important, because that stops a massive amount of sediment getting into the river. And also simple things like thinking about where your gated access is. And if it's at the bottom of the slope, at the bottom of a river, then that immediately creates a pathway for sediment to go straight in to the river. So it's thinking about the whole of the catchment management. It's not just the rural areas, though, at all. Mm-hmm. You need to think about the urban areas, but I think you're talking about that later on in the programme.
Yeah, so just in the houses nearby my boat on the river, there's lots of flood gates against people's front gardens to try and protect the water seeping into the houses and again causing lots of damage, as Sheila was alluding to earlier. So is this something that we're going to increasingly have to start putting in our houses around the UK and in these areas that traditionally we didn't think were actually in danger of becoming flooded?
Well, quite possibly, or at least trying to set back a bit from the river as well. So you're giving the river more space to enable it to manage the floods. But again, as we heard earlier, with climate change coming into the scenario, we're in a situation where we probably may be seeing more events of this kind of nature in the future. So again, it goes back to trying to think about how we manage the whole catchment. And part of that may be that we have to think about how we deal with our houses being right next to the river.
That's great. Thank you very much to Jenny Mant from the River Restoration Centre. And she's based at Cranfield University.
Thank you, Hannah. I can't get over how prescient it was of you to buy a boat in the first place. You must be psychic. You must have foreseen this happening.
Yeah, I mean, it was quite awkward getting in and out of the boat, but actually my boat was floating and I didn't suffer any damage from the flooding. So actually I count myself very lucky.
You're listening to The Naked Scientist with Chris Smith, that's me, and with Hannah Critchlow. We're talking about flooding, and ironically we've managed to take the day which Britain has enjoyed its highest temperatures and best weather all year to discuss the topic that's hardly been off the news and off the headlines and off the front pages of the newspapers all year. Thankfully, things are subsiding. But of course, that doesn't mean it couldn't happen again, which is why we're looking at this issue.